If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. The title of the message is When Christ Returns. It says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now this message is a very simple message. And it talks about the fact of Christ coming back for his church, his people, and what's going to happen when he comes. If we omit this message, then we're going to omit a great deal of what the Bible is talking about. In fact, for every one time that his first coming is mentioned, it is mentioned eight times, his second coming. Entire books like 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 2 Peter and Revelation all deal basically with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then there are books like, or chapters like Matthew 24 and 25 that deal exclusively with it. And in the New Testament, there are some 312 direct references to the fact of the second coming of Jesus Christ. I think that God intends for us to have understanding of the fact that he's coming again. He is coming again. We need to understand that and be ready and know what needs to be done. Well, there's first of all the certainty of his return. Jesus will someday return to this old earth again. He will come in a visible manner. He will come in a personal manner. It will be a body and a bodily and a literal return. And the Bible says that he shall descend from the cloud. Now you can't sidestep this truth. We know that Jesus Christ told us when he left that if I go, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The question is asked, what makes you so certain that Christ is going to come again? Well, when I look in the Bible, I see that the Apostle Paul, James and John and Peter and Matthew and Mark and Luke, they all told us about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then I look in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament prophets prophesied the fact that he would not only come the first time, but that he would come the second time. And we remember when Jesus ascended back to heaven, the angels appeared to the men that were waiting and watching him as he went up into the heavens. And the angel said, You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the heavens? For this same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven will also come again in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. But the most powerful statement of all was made by Jesus himself in John 14 when he said, If I go, I will come again. What a blessed promise. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern sky and he's going to return just like he promised that he would. He does not lie, does he? He does exactly what he says he's going to do. He is coming again. Mark it down on your calendar. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour, but I know that he's coming. Yes. I'll be quick to say that I don't know just when he's coming. And I'm certainly not going to make a prediction that he's going to come on a certain day at a certain hour. For Jesus said, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is going to come. Now keep in mind that while we know not when the time is going to come, he has given us certain signs to help us to know the closeness of the midnight hour. The Bible tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, there was immorality that was running rampant in Noah's day. And when you see that condition existing in the world today, no, his redemption draweth nigh. And brethren, we're living in wicked times. The early Christians watched for him daily. You remember the Apostle Paul. He made the statement, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said we. He expected to see the Lord coming in his day. It didn't come then. It's been 2,000 years. But I'm going to tell you, it's a lot closer today. And we best be looking up. His coming can be at any time. I expect that he could come today. Brother, he could come today. I try every day of my life, I try to reach the point that I can say, Lord, even so, come quickly. Come today. And I know there are a lot of folks that need to get saved, but there are other folks that are leaving the faith. Well, somebody said, I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uptaker. And I think that's what we all are looking for. The only sure way of making sure that you're ready and you're prepared for this event of the second coming of Jesus Christ is to give your life to Jesus. You see, if you haven't done that, you need to do that today. Because he's going to come, and the Bible said his coming will be like a thief in the night. And then there's the resurrection of the saved. What will happen when he returns? When Christ comes, and it will really happen, what's going to happen to us? You see, the first thing to take place when Christ returns, according to our text, is the fact that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who have died in the Lord will meet him in the air. They will come forth with immortal, incorruptible, eternal, glorified bodies. Now, I hope he comes while I'm alive. But if he doesn't, it does not make any difference. All I'll do is just die and lay down this robe of flesh, but the real living part of me will never, ever die. You see, when we die and breathe our last breath here, the soul of a man goes to meet God who gave it. You don't cease to exist. Well, the resurrection of the righteous dead. You see, I know there are folks that would probably say to me something like this, Carl, you really don't believe in the literal resurrection, do you? And I'm going to tell you, yes, I do. I believe in a literal, physical, bodily resurrection. I mean a body with all of its necessary parts. I'll have an eye and something to see. I'll have hands and something to handle. I'll have feet and somewhere to walk. I'll have a tongue and lips and something to say and talk about. And I'll have vocal cords where I can sing the song of praise to God. Life in heaven will be real. You think it's good down here, and sometimes we think, boy, we've got it made. Life is great and grand down here. I remember Ray Baker used to say all the time, life is worth living in Fort Smith, Arkansas. But it's a whole lot better in heaven than it is in Fort Smith, Arkansas. So the first thing at the coming of Christ will be the resurrection of the saints. And you see, every little baby that's been snatched from its mother's arms, every saved boy that was killed in the war, and there's a mama that looks at the pictures and weeps over the fact of her loss. And every faithful martyr who has died for the Lord Jesus Christ, all the saints that have victory are going to be there. And Jesus is going to take us up to be with him in glory. The second thing is the translation of the living saints. You see, the next thing to happen when he comes will be the fact that we're going to come back incorruptible. Notice what the scripture says. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There will be a translation from the mortal to the immortality. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For that corruption, or this corruption, must put on incorruption, and that mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Brethren, when you lose a family member that dies in the Lord, Jesus takes the sting away. He takes the sting away because we know where they're going. They're not just going to go and pass out of existence, but one of these days we will see them again. One of these days there will be a reunion of all the people of God all over this world. You see, I know that the dead saints are raised first, and the Bible says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It'll almost be simultaneous, folks. The dead in Christ will be raised, and right behind them, the living that are here will be raptured out. Won't that be a wonderful thing? You know, you just... walking by, and you know, I think about that man that is walking on the cane, and He's tired and weary of life. He aches, he hurts. And he's ready for the time when the Lord comes and takes him home. And he's walking with that cane and that frail body. Then all of a sudden the rapture takes place. And that slumping, frail body straightens up. And those crippled legs are whole again. And he is taken up to be with the Lord with a new body that only God can give. I still hope that I'm living when the Lord comes, and I've always kind of felt like I would, but I know the Apostle Paul felt the same way. Jesus didn't come, but he's coming. I don't know if I will actually see him come in the air. I think I will, because I think it's really close. And physically, I pray that God will give me the health and the strength to where I can be alive and be here when he comes. I've never flown other than in a plane. But wouldn't it be nice to just, like a rocket, take off and go to meet him in the air? And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then there's the resurrection of the lost. After the rapture, after the first resurrection, comes the great tribulation. Then the 1,000-year reign of Christ and the final battle of Armageddon is fought. And then the Bible talks about there'll be another resurrection, the second resurrection. This will be of the unsaved. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a Christian. How is this going to affect me? How is this going to affect me? If you are unsaved, you'll have a resurrection. You see, if you're unsaved, and maybe you'll even say, well, preacher, I don't want to be raised. I'd just like to pass out of existence just like an animal when I die. But it's appointed unto a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. You cannot do that. I would like for you to think about a passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 20. This is almost a horrible picture. It is not an illustration. It is not my opinion. It's the Word of God. In this picture of your eternal doom, you see, you have Christ there to simply pronounce the day of, or pronounce the judgment upon the sinner. It tells us that on that day, the spiritually dead, the physical dead, you see, the physical dead, the body dies, but the soul takes leave of the body. The spiritual dead is when body and soul go into hell, and that is eternal death. The small and great will be there, the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, everybody that is lost will be there on that day. And the Bible tells us that on one side of the Lord, there'll be an angel with a stack of books. It says, and the books were opened. And then it also goes to tell us on the other side, there's an angel that has only one book. That's the Lamb's Book of Life. This is in Revelation chapter 20. And in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's the only one that really counts, that's really the church ledger. If your name's not written down here, then you're going to spend eternity without Christ in the devil's hell. And I know that's a sad thing, but if you reject Jesus Christ, you will come before him and have him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I do not know you. You see, when you stand before God, your words will be made manifest, your deeds, your actions, every movement of your hands, every movement of your lips, everything will be known by the Lord, and it will be recorded in the books. And then the scripture tells us, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Now, this kind of death that he's talking about is not a cessation of life. It's not annihilation. It's separation. Eternal death. To be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, and know that there is no escape because there's a great gulf fixed where you cannot get out. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If your name is not written down, then you're not going to make heaven your home. A final thought. Imagine with me an imaginary picture of the day of judgment, the white throne judgment. Just suppose that all the events that needs to happen before Christ comes back and this judgment takes place. Just suppose that they've all happened. And just suppose that you're standing before God and you're going to give an account for your soul. You see, all the businesses of the earth have ground to a halt. There'll be no more money making ever again. The places of entertainment and recreation, they're empty. You see, the beaches, they're empty. The houses of pleasure and sin have been closed. And the industry where people work have ground to a halt. All the things of this world have come to an end. And I see the angel of the Lord, like a flash of lightning coming out of heaven, and he puts one foot on the land and another foot on the sea. And he has a trumpet in his hands, and he blows that trumpet. And it's the sound that's heard throughout all the ages. And then he cups his hand to his lips, and he cries out, time shall be no more. Then all of a sudden, what you've stood on, the heavens shall disappear. They'll be gone. The earth shall melt with a fervent heat, and that which you have stood on and you've been assured that it gives a stable foundation will be crumbling and burning under your feet. And those graves will all open up, every one. You see, it can be every city grave. It can be every county grave. It can be a family cemetery. But they'll all come out. And you see, those individuals that are lost, and they've already died. Their soul has already gone to Gehenna or to Hades or hell. And the bodies are raised up and they're reunited again. And they stand before the great white throne. It is so bright that it's hard to see. But you can look and you can see with your eye, there's a white throne, and him that sat on it has eyes of fire that look right through you. And then you look and you see the angels with the books and the angel with the book. And you look at the right hand of the throne of God and you see one that has scars in his hands and scars on his head. And you recognize him immediately as being Christ, the one who died for the sins of all the world. And then one by one, people stand before him and account for their soul. You remember when Jesus was here on earth, he had made mention that the time would come when he would be the judge. And when they stand before him and the Lord says, and the angel are there, and they said, Lord, and call whoever it is by name. He is here before you. And the Lord looks at the record in the books and there's sin piled up on top of sin. And the angel said, Lord, what do you want us to write? And Jesus says, him that denies me, the Father will deny him in the day of judgment. And so the angel asked again, Lord, what shall I write? And the Lord said, write lost. Lost. The angels of God began to cry, lost, lost. And all of a sudden, crawling out of that pit called hell, there are the imps of hell that come with chains of fire, and they shackle that one. The Bible says, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the lake of fire, which is the second death. But you know, I have a choice. I can choose that, or I can choose to be saved. I can choose forgiveness. I can choose salvation in Jesus Christ. I think if I have my right mind and senses, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to bow before him and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and be my Savior now. I know it's coming soon. I know it's just almost here, and I feel it in my bones, and I think that God has done that, and I've had some of you to tell me the same thing. I believe God wants us to know I'm coming back, and I'm coming soon. Better be ready, because when he comes, it'll be too late to do anything about it. Come today, this morning, right now. I'll pray with you, but just come and give your heart and life to the Lord. Don't put it off any longer. Come!